This is HPR episode 2918 entitled, Selecting Random Item from Weighted List, and is part of the series, Haskell. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto, and is about 27 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, how to select a random item from weighted list using Haskell.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
You're listening to the Hacker Public Radio, and this is Tuturto talking about picking random items from weighted list using Haskell. So, as the title suggests, I'm going to talk about a bit how to select random items for weighted list. So, and there isn't too much of code this time, but it certainly took quite many tries to get this working correctly. So, the weighted list, we have a list of items that have some weight, and then the algorithms will pick one item from the list, and those items with higher weight should be more likely to be picked. So, and analogy I came up with this is that we have a stack of building blocks of different sizes, and that height of the building block is the likelihood of it getting selected. And then you stack them on top of each other, order doesn't matter, and then you randomly chop a stick so that its length is minimum of one and at maximum of the heightness of the stack. And then you put the stick next to the stack, and where it reaches is the one that you're going to pick. So that's what we are going to do. And on the code side, we have a list of items, and those items are defined as a frequency A. And the frequency A is a type that has a value constructor of frequency int A. So it can be, A can be anything, and int is that weight. And since A can be anything, we can use this algorithm or system or whatever for with any kind of data. Of course, the A have to be same for each of the items that you put in the same list. And the total sum of those weights is the tallness of the stack in the analogy. We need to select a random number between 1 and total. I'm going to look more closely into that in a moment. And then we have a little helper function called pick that actually does the compiling and picking the element. But before we look into implementation of this, we have to make a quick detour into the random number generators. I talked about them not too long ago, but the thing is that in Haskell functions are pure. So same input, same output always. So if you call a function or apply a function twice with exactly same parameters, you are going to get the exactly same result, which kind of means that the randomness on a first glance is extremely hard. But this is solved in a way that you are passing in a random number generator, and that random number generator is purely deterministic, meaning that if you call the same random number generator twice, it will give you the same answer. But it will also give you the new random number generator. So when you call a random number generator and say that give me a number between 1 and 10, you're going to get a number, and you're going to get a new random number generator. And then you call that one again and say that, give me number between 1 and 10. You're going to get a different answer, and yet again, and yet a new random number generator. But passing around that new random number generator, and you have to remember which one is the newest one. You have to always pass around the one that has been is the result of the latest computation. It gets tedious to pass it around, and you have to remember to return the correct one, because for example, if our picking item from the list wouldn't return the random number generator, we could call that list, call that function that gets the item from the list twice using the same random number generator, and we will get two same results, and that's, I mean, we are guaranteed to get two same results, and that's kind of not what I would call random. So you have to always remember to return that new generator, and that gets tedious. But luckily there's a solution to this. They are called monads. I'm not going to do a tutorial about them, because while I know how to use them in some contexts, I can't explain them well enough, and there's so many tutorials on the internet already about them that if you're interested on the theory behind them, you can go and find a suitable one to work on that. But I can show what to do with them, especially in this case. So we have a monad called monad random. That's a type class, and it has several functions. We are only interested in one in this case. The basic idea is the same with everything, but there's a function called getRandomR that has a type of random A, fat arrow, tuple of AA, arrow MA. So A is anything that has a random instance, basically anything that you can generate random values of. It doesn't have to be a number. You could have a function that, for example, could generate your random booleans. You just say that I want random boolean, and it basically flips a coin which one you're going to get, true or false. But anyway, random A, fat arrow, tuple AA, arrow MA is the type signature. So A is a something that has a random instance. Tuple AA is a tuple with two values, lower bound and upper bound. You're asking value between these two bounds inclusively. And result is MA. And M here is the monad random. Actually, it's a rand. And A is our value. So it gives you a value between lower and higher bound, and that value is returned in a context that carries the random number generator. So now that you have the M holds that random number generator, actually the monad random context, you can use this one as a basis of a next operation when you are operating within the monad random in your computation. You can call getRandomR multiple times, and you don't have to worry about passing in the random number generator or taking the new value with you. You just care about the result of the random call, and the monad takes care of the threading that new random number generator along the computation. So we just use the getRandomR, and that's it. But in the end, if we have a big computation doing some random stuff, we are left with a MA there. And we have to somehow turn this MA into A. And for that, there's a function run rand that has a touch signature of random gen G, fat arrow, rand G A, arrow G, arrow A G. Double A G, sorry. Okay, might be a good idea to look into show notes at this point. What does this mean is that the G is a random gen, meaning that G is a something that can generate random values for you that has a specific function, specific interface. Random gen is a type class. Okay. G is that. So we have, when we are calling run rand, we have to give it a rand GA. This is what we get from the as a result of the computation that uses monad random. A is the result that we want. G is that random generator coming from somewhere, and the result is tuple of AG. So we get a tuple of where the first element is our answer, and second element is that new random generator. So essentially, when we are using that getRandomR, we are constructing a computation that results to rand GA. That is what we want. And then we run this computation with run rand, and we get tuple of AG as a result. First element is being that what we are after, and second element is the new random number generator. We can also do a eval rand that is similar, that has a similar signature. It has a random gen G, fat arrow, rand GA, arrow G, arrow A. Exactly same as previously, except that the final, that the result will be just A instead of double AG. So we are getting our value that we are after as a result, but we are discarding the new state of the random number generator. Sometimes this is what we want, sometimes we need that new random number generator, so it depends on the case which one to use. So if you got the, well, the basic idea is that we are using that monad random to construct a computation that depends on something that can generate random values for us. And then we use that something to give us the final result. The nifty trick here is that since that our computation is not necessarily, but it can be, usually it is, it can be pure, meaning that the same data goes in, same data goes out. So we can have a really big computation that uses randomness, and if we call it with the exact same values, we get exact same result back every single time. And the only thing that changes here is that rand G, random gen G, that is the what generates us random values. So if you use the same random number generator twice to call our computation or to run our computation, we get the same result back. Okay, let's look into actual implementation. Hopefully this will make my explanation a little bit clearer. So first, we have a frequency, which is for expressing weight of individual item in a list. It's parameterized, so you can use it with any data. You can have a frequency int, you can have frequency bool, you can have frequency your own data type. So this one works with everything. And it's defined as data frequency A equals frequency int A. and then deriving show with equal. So you can have a one value of a in that. Then next is a little function that is used to determine which item to choose from the list. Based on the weights, based on the list, and the random number that has been already picked. So, and in case the value is outside of the valid range, so it's less than 1, or it's greater than the length of the total sum of the weights, then it also doesn't return anything. So it returns nothing. Otherwise, it returns just A. So it always returns something, but it can be just A in case where the values are reasonable, or it can be nothing when there's some problem with the values. Okay, and our definition for that is pick has a signatures of list of frequency A, arrow int, arrow maybe A. So given a list of frequencies and the number, it returns a maybe A. Pick empty list underscore equals nothing. So if you calling this with an empty list, you are going to get nothing. There's nothing you can pick from the empty list. The more interesting case is pick open parents frequency x item colon xs close parent I. So we are deconstructing the parameter, and I is the index to pick from, or the random number to use to picking on, and frequency x item colon xs means that frequency x item is the first item of the list and xs is rest of the list. Then there's a pipe I less or equals than x equals just item. Pipe otherwise equals pick xs open paren I minus x close paren. So what happens here? There's a case of, this is called card. I should explain them more closely, but hopefully you can follow them. Maybe I do a proper episode later. I'm doing this in completely wrong order, apparently. So there's two cases. One is that the I, our random number, is less or equal to weight of the first item in the list. Then we are returning... I is less or equal to the weight of the first item of the list, then we are going to return that first item. Otherwise, we are going to pick item, and we are recursively calling. We are going to use pick xs, so rest of the list. We are dropping the first item of the list, and we are subtracting the weight of our first item from the total weight. So basically, you could visualize this as taking the bottom cube from the stack and shortening the stick with the height of that building block. The end result is that you have a new stack which has one item less and which has a but where the stick still reaches exactly the same point. And then this repeats until you find the item where the top of the stick reaches. Or if something goes wrong and the stick is longer than the stack, you end up with the empty list, and then the first case, pick empty list underscore equals nothing kicks in and you get nothing as a result. So this is how you pick the item. And then we need calculating the total of weights or frequencies and choosing the random number. And we are using that random G, maybe A, as a byte here. So we might or might not get a result. For example, like I said, empty list would lead into the nothing. And since we are dealing with the random numbers and don't want to pass around that random number generator, we are going to use that monad that I talked about a moment ago, monad random. So the signature for our function choose, this is the function that you use to actually choose the random item from the list. That signature is a random gen G, fat arrow, list of frequency A, arrow, rand G, maybe A. And two cases again. Choose empty list equals return nothing. This is the, in case of the empty list, doesn't matter what random number you have or anything, you just get nothing as a result. And notice that because we are using that monad random, we are not just saying choose empty list equals nothing. We have to say choose empty list equals return nothing. Return is a function that wraps our nothing into that rand G. So it's not a return as in pretty much every other language is. It just wraps our result inside of the rand G. Then the more interesting case, choose items, so we have a list, equals do. Let total equals sum dollar fmap lambda frequency x underscore equals arrow x items. So what we are doing here, we are creating an anonymous function that given a frequency of frequency A will return you the weight of it, that int. And then we are applying that to every item in the list. So we get a list of the weights. And then we are using sum to add all those together. So now total is the total sum of those weights. Next line. N left arrow get random R. Open paren 1, comma total close paren. So here we are using that get random R that I mentioned earlier. We are picking a random number between 1 and the total. And because we are using a monad, we have to use the left arrow notation. So that first line where we are summing up things, that's a regular function called that why is let total equals something. Here in left arrow get random R is using the specific properties or rules or whatever of that monad random, meaning that this left arrow notation causes the monad random to thread in that random number generator. So here we are using the random number generator, even when we are not talking about it, and we are also taking it, the new random number generator, and passing it along when we are not mentioning it. This is really convenient. Like, we don't have to worry about that at all. And the last line is return dollar big items n. So we are calling our big function with all the items, and with the random number that we choose, and returning the value wrapped into random G. So that's all that there is. So there isn't that much of the code, but there's a relatively lot of things happening. And now we can have a weighted list of items, and we can randomly choose item from there. And for example, if we have a list of two items, one with a weight of 1, one with a weight of 2, and we pick 100 times from that list, we should end up having that one item as 33% of times, and that second item 66% of time on the beat because roundings. So it probably sounds a lot more complicated than it actually is. I arrived to the result after quite many detours. Like I had a version that just took a random number generator and never returned it. Then I realized that I cannot use that as a part of a bigger computation without losing the random number generator or actually the state of the new random number generator. Then I had a version that returned the tuple of the value that I wanted, the new random number generator, and that got tedious to pass around. So after some reading, I found that there's this monad random that I can use that run GA to return any value and have the system to take care of the passing around that random number generator. So it just meant that I tried a lot of things until I found one that looked reasonable, got it working, and then did quite a bit cleaning. And it probably took like a couple months even. I wasn't actively working on it. I wrote one version and then worked on some other stuff and learned new things and then came back and fixed things. But anyway, so it's not case that you just sit down and think that, okay, I need this kind of function, and then you write it from starting from the beginning and going to the end. At least I have to do a lot of trial and error and experimenting and refining. But now that we know how to pick random numbers, random items from the weighted list, we can do some nifty things, but I'm going to talk about those next time. I'm going to do some values of practical things with the choose function. So what we got here is a choose that has a signature of random gen G, fat arrow, list of frequency A, arrow run G, maybe A. So we can, given a list, we can pick one item from there. And in the meantime, questions, comments, and feedback are welcome. Best way to reach me nowadays is the email, or in the Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social, or even cooler, you could record your own HPR episode. Catch you later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.